life or it's your first time, we're glad that you found your way into this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are a church together through worship, fellowship, missions, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar, and now it's a little short because of summertime, and a list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing at the door at the communion table when following the service this morning. Also, check out the website. There's always announcements there as well. During the offering, those of you who are in the middle section, there's a little hospitality list to register there. We'd love to have you pass it down through, sign it, fill out some comments that you would like to share with the pastor, and we'd be glad to hear that. And we also would like to know who you're worshiping with, if there are new people with you. In the foyer, narthex, there's a table where you can check out your name, address, phone numbers, email addresses. Make sure that those addresses are correct, because we are in the, we're trying to put together a directory so that it will be up to date, a non-pictorial type of directory, and we'd like to make sure that's correct. Tomorrow is your opportunity to give your blood to this church. You take your money today, tomorrow your blood. We're a full-service church. And so at 2 o'clock, 7, in the room 2, out in the west wing, as I call it, we are very happy to have with us this morning Amy Fowler, who is the leader of our presbytery. She is no stranger to us. She's been here before. And we're glad to have her with us this morning, and she will be sharing the Word of God. So if you'll pray for him as he does that. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The Lord pours forth rivers from bare mountains and fountains and valleys' depths. On dry, thirsty land, God springs forth streams in the desert, and there shall be rejoicing at the sight of the healing water. people said, amen. I believe it is well with your soul today. And if not, join us together in a prayer of unison with God and the unison, please. Gracious God, we confess we often turn away from you, attempting to quench the thirst of our own, only to end wandering far from your life-giving water. We find it difficult to believe that you really love us with all of our contradictions and sin. When we see the condition of our world, we confess a certain fear which takes us over and makes us doubt that you can still be in control, that you are able to turn things around, to create new heavens and a new earth. We lack the ability to even imagine that new day farthered out in our souls. Forgive us for our faithlessness. Establish again sure expectation of what you have done, what you are doing, and what you shall do for us and for all of creation. That we be once be led to your river of life. Amen. Please share confessions that the Holy Spirit has been working on you silently. We have been invited into the river of life. Our sins are forgiven. Our past erased by the love of God made manifest in Christ Jesus. We are free now to live a new life that is claimed, enjoyed, and empowered by the Spirit of Jesus the Christ. Praise be to God.
Children, come on up in the front. I'm going to sit right up here on the pew. Don't be shy. Come on over. I won't bite, I promise. Did you get any new clothes yet for school? Did anybody do any shopping? Yeah? Yeah? Did you get some good stuff? Got a new backpack? Yeah? Got some new pencils? New pencils? Yeah? Did you get any paper or anything like that? Notebooks? Are you excited for school? Sorry, raise your hand. What's one of the most exciting things about going back to school? One of your friends is going to be in your class. What else?
It's not time yet.
You got two more weeks. Oh, snack time. Oh, snack time. You know what? They don't give teachers a snack time. I wonder why.
Maybe the new teacher.
Meeting a new teacher, meeting new people is one of the most fun things, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, I'm a music teacher. Did you know that? Now you know. So I get excited about going back to school just like you do. And I get to see all the boys and girls every year. It's really fun. And it's really fun to see how everybody gets mixed up in other classes and with new friends. So you know what? I get excited and I have to think about my supplies that I need for school as well. And so I went into my room with all the stuff. Everybody's got one of those rooms, you know? Well, it is my music room, but it's also my my school stuff that I need. And I found this container of all of these different pens. And they all look a little different, don't they? Yeah, are they all the same color? No, they're not all the same color. Mm-hmm. Now this one here is green, but I wonder what color do you think it might write in? Anybody know? Think it might write in blue? Let's find out. You want to help me? Black, you think black? How about you help me out? Here's a pad. And then would you write on there? Just anything, just doodle. All right, and would you take one of these pens too? Anyone you want, just take one. Just take one right out. Pick one. Good. Oh, the pink one. All right, and here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you each a pad, and I want you to tell me what color your pen writes in. Okay, I want you to write it down first, okay? It's obvious. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's not. Now, your pen was green on the outside. What color was the ink?
Black.
Okay, your pen was pink on the outside. What color?
Pink!
And yours is purple and white on the outside, but what color does it write? Good. And what color is yours? Yours looks like white mostly with purple. What about yours? Yours is kind of clear with a little bit of purple. What color? Black. So that's interesting. They all look different on the outside, but we have, how many of you, raise your hand if you have a pen that writes in the black color. Yeah, cool. All right, now the really cool thing is that pens can be surprising, can't they? And that's what I do when I get ready for school. I have to go, okay, which are my black pens, which are my pink pens, right? Did you know that pens are kind of like people? Did you know that? Well, let's see if we can ask our friends in the congregation to all stand up for just a second. Would you put your pens down for a second and look, turn around and look at all of our friends? Anybody that can stand up? Okay, can you guys turn around and look at them and tell me what you see? What do you see? They're all different. I'm holding the microphone for you. Okay, they're all
They're in different clothes.
They're different shapes. And are they all the same size? There's some short people and some tall people. And what about the hair colors? The hair colors. Okay. She forgot. But we have people of all different sizes and all different colors. Thank you. You may all sit down. Thank you for helping us. But why do you think, I mean, if all these people all look so differently, they all look so differently, well, why are we all here? What do we have in common? Who can tell me? Why are we all in church together?
To believe about God.
To learn about God. That's right. And so that, I'm so glad that we all have that in common. Even though we all look different, like my pens, right? We all have something in common. So as you're starting school this year, you're going to meet some new friends. Would you have a prayer with me, please? Well, I hope not. Good. And who would like to collect all the pads for me? Go ahead. Thank you, honey. Yeah, thank you. That's my favorite. My teacher has red on one end and blue on the other. Can we have a little prayer together, my friends? Thank you so much. Yeah. Dear God, we are excited for a new school year to begin and to meet new people. Please help us to open our hearts to people we meet that might look differently, talk differently, or think differently than we do. Please help us to accept our differences so that we can find what makes us. Now, would you repeat after me? Thank you, God, for loving us.
For loving us. Yes, we are.
Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6. Sometimes I pick up a book and I start to read it and I don't get into it very well. I just can't get there. So I go to the last chapter and start reading that, and I find out how it all ended. But now I'm motivated to find out how we got there. A little mystery. This morning we're reading from the Old Testament, and then Amy is going to read for us the very last chapter and how it connects together. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy.
Thank you so much for that beautiful music. Yesterday and Friday was in Indianapolis at the bedside of one of my dear friends, a colleague in ministry, who was dying. And both the first hymn and certainly that beautiful "How Great Thou Art" are really balm for my soul. As Gordon mentioned, we're dealing with beginnings and endings, and this New Testament scripture comes from the final chapter of the book of Revelation. And here is the final vision of what God's kingdom will look like. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And then the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever. Pray with me. Who dares speak for you, O Lord? Give me a humble heart and a right attitude, that Christ may shine forth to perceptive minds and live in receptive hearts. Amen. You have probably noticed today that the theme is river song. We'll be singing lots of river songs, and I have a river song for you. It takes the form of a parable that starts like this. The kingdom of God can be compared to two churches in a neighborhood in Memphis, Tennessee, a city that sits on a bluff above the Mississippi River. In a neighborhood in Memphis, there are two churches. On the northern end of the neighborhood, a church, Presbyterian church, with mostly Caucasian members, a few families of Asian Americans, professors from the University of Memphis, which is very close to that church. And on the southern end of that neighborhood is a CME Church, Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, and their membership is primarily African American. Now, in 1985, that was not unusual in Memphis. In fact, it was the norm. What was not the norm is that these two churches attempted to come together through a program sponsored by the National Council of Christians and Jews called Congregations United. The pastors of these two churches, supported by a few families from each church, began to talk. First, to get to know each other. How simple, but really how complicated in Memphis in 1985. And then to work together to support a mental health care home that sat between them in the neighborhood. The partnership began slowly and carefully with the few interested people. They would gather together for Bible study and prayer. Each of the pastors received communications from some of their members, letting them know that this was not what they thought their church should be doing. But the activities continued slowly and carefully. time, the all-white church called a Yankee woman associate pastor in Memphis in 1985. As some feared might happen, she came with new ideas, one of which was that on Choir Appreciation Sunday, rather than having the choir process in and stand at the front and sing the first hymn facing the congregation, she had heard that the choir did not like to do that. Instead, the choir would be in the choir loft in the balcony at the back, where they usually were, and would be introduced to the congregation by name. And for that to happen, of course, the congregation would have to stand up, turn around, and sing the hymn to the choir. What a great idea. She had been told that it was possible to sing in that choir for 40 years and die and have no one come to your funeral because they didn't know who you were. When she informed the choir director, who was a professor at University of Memphis, he was happy to do that. He said, "I will introduce them by name. And oh, by the way," he said, "I have hired a new baritone section leader who is one of my students, so it will be a good time to introduce him." When Sunday arrived, the Yankee woman associate pastor, who, as you may have guessed by now, is me, asked the congregation to stand up, turn around, face the choir loft. And there he was, Todd, in the back row, towering over the other men and women. Todd, who just happened to be African American. The silence was deafening. You could hear everyone's name clearly. Both the pastor and the Yankee woman associate pastor received unsigned correspondence that week. But then when a few weeks later Todd sang his first solo, things began to calm down. Todd is a man with a tremendous voice and a powerful faith. And he began a very special ministry there. Spring came, and it was time for Memphis in May, which is a month-long celebration. Barbecue contests and all kinds of special cultural events. And it culminates with the Sunset Symphony. The Memphis Symphony plays on the bank of the Mississippi River to close Memphis in May, Memorial Day weekend. While we were there, the concert always ended the same way, with an African-American man named James Heiter singing Old Man River. The concert began in the early evening, but as I learned when we got there, picnickers came very early to stake out their places. And they started picnicking, or as I might say, partying then. So by the time the symphony started playing, some of them had been enjoying themselves in the hot sun for, 6 or 7 hours. They were feeling no pain. My husband Gene and I went that first year, and we placed our little blanket on the ground, and we tried to hear the concert over the party, and it was not easy. that at the end, when James Heider sang Old Man River, he had everyone's attention. He was given a standing ovation that continued until he sang it again, and again, and again, and again, 6 times. I knew that I should be feeling very good, but I was so uncomfortable seeing these drunken white people have this black man sing a song about oppression and sorrow over and over and over again. When I expressed my opinion in the church office on Monday, I was told that I did not understand the South at all. I knew that was right. I did not understand the South at all, but I was learning. Shortly thereafter, a woman named Jean, a member of the congregation who had been a jazz singer in her prime, came to me with Todd. In the choir, they had struck up a great friendship, and they asked if they could give a concert for the partnership as a gift to the partnership. And they were going to do a joint concert of spirituals. What a gift. With some anxiety, we invited our partner church to come to the dinner and concert. On the morning of the concert, I woke up with the worst headache I have ever had. I could feel disaster approaching. I've always had strong intuitions about worst-case scenarios, and I knew something awful was going to happen, but I didn't know what it was. My anxiety had certainly been increased by the unsigned correspondence I had received that said, "Have Todd sing Old Man River." I made it clear to anyone within shouting distance that I was not Todd's boss, and that he and Jean, as artists, would choose what they sang in the concert, which was a gift. The evening arrived, and I didn't know whether my head would come off or my stomach would make it through dinner. I got into the fellowship hall. One of the circles was setting the table. And soon it became apparent what the disaster was going to be. The dinner was potluck, but no one had told our partner congregation that the dinner was potluck. Two of the circle ladies jumped in the car, ran to the local barbecue store, and brought back food to add to what was on the table. Slaw, beans, potato salad. And then, with a loaves and fishes prayer, everyone was served and ate. What a relief, I thought. If I had only known that the problem was food, I could have relaxed. But my head was still pounding. The concert began, and Jean sang first, and between her songs she wove her testimony of how hard it had been to raise her children alone. Her husband had died, leaving them deeply in debt. She had worked for years and years to pay off that debt. Now she was beginning to deal with the breast cancer that would eventually end her life. She told her story and sang of God's grace. Both our members and our guests seemed to relax. They were receptive, shoulders came down. Then it was Todd's turn, and as he sang his songs, he gave his testimony. It was moving. and the songs were so beautiful. People began to smile. And then he said, I have been asked to sing Old Man River, and I have three reasons why I won't. And I thought, oh Lord God, here come the reasons. He said, first, I don't know the words. Second, he said, you know, that's James Heider's song, and it's a wonderful song the way he sings it. But it's not my song. And then he said, third, I have my own river song. And how he began to sing, Shall We Gather at the River? It was so beautiful, I could see people melting. The whole evening was transformed, and the kingdom of God was in our midst. Todd opened the door, and together we walked in. It was fabulous. I have since renamed my worst case headaches kingdom headaches, because I know when I have them, the kingdom of God is at hand. First chapter of Mark, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I see the kingdom here, though we can't see it clearly. Sometimes we bump into it, crack our shins on it. There it is. I think Jesus should have added a warning. Watch out! The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. At the concert that night was a man named Tommy, a member of my congregation, who before he got to know Todd would not have chosen to come. Tommy was aging and was really sick. He had a bad heart and worn-out kidneys. He was hospitalized frequently, so I got to know him really well because I made the hospital visits. Shortly before he died, I visited him, and he asked me to sit down and hold his hand. He said, I have something to tell you before I die. I did not want you to come to this church, and I vowed that I would have nothing to do with you. And they told me the vote was unanimous. He said, but you did not care about that. You came and you visited me and you held my hand and you prayed with me. Said, I was angry when I saw Todd in the choir loft, and I did not want him there. But he sang for me, and he opened my heart, and I know he is my brother in Christ. He said, I have so much to thank God for, but I thought at this point in my life that God was done with me. I never would have guessed that God would send you and Todd so that I could repent before I die. God is so good. Tommy died later that month, and Todd sang at his funeral. Jean died the next year. And I asked Todd to sing his river song for her. Shall we gather at the river? Yes, we will gather at the river. Gather with the saints by the river. that runs by the throne of God. But what about us? Shall we gather at the river? There is a river of the water of life, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. Even our nation. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and God's servants will worship him. They will see God's face, and God's name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. But in the meantime, watch out. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Amen.
Things going by the river. Having picnics? Are you celebrating? the ushers will come by and tell us what is going on in here.
Tess McKeel. Prayers of safe travel for my mom and my aunt as they leave on Tuesday to head to the Netherlands to see family and then towards some other countries in Europe. So keep them safe.
I would really like you to pray for my friend Peggy and for her family and for the congregation of First Meridian Heights Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis as we near Peggy's death. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to ask for prayers for my coworker, David Lennox, who has gone through chemotherapy, two operations, and now is told the cancer is still with him. He is now trying to decide to go any further with his treatment. What would this be then?
Yes, you, Sean. First, I would like to say this Tuesday we're going to be adult and I will be celebrating our 36th wedding anniversary. I don't want to say this, but today is my birthday. And I said a couple of years ago, 36 years ago, that was the best birthday gift I had. Like 2 days after my birthday, to get married. Also, we had a wonderful relationship because, again, 36 years ago, when we started attending this church. So this is always a special time to celebrate. But most importantly, this morning, because we're going to be traveling right after service, I was inclined to not come. But I think we made a good decision because this is where today is a very touching service. And I thank you, Mia, for that special song. And God, my Father, for that powerful message. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Trina Portillo, it's good to be here visiting with all of you today. I would like to give thanks for the very powerful rally that took place in Boston yesterday. I was not there to be part of it, but I was proud of the city that is close to my new home and all the people that turned out. About 40,000 people came and had a very peaceful protest and said that hate has no place in Boston. So I'm proud of them and thankful that it was a peaceful gathering.
Waters to flow through our nation and into our world. We plead that the water will revive a sense of peace to a land of people thirsty for meaning in their lives. We pray for your healing water to revive a sense of direction to people wandering for causes that may seem good but end in valleys of fire and evil. We desire a flow of functionality to eradicate the sin that seems to be making our nation spin out of control. May the water of your Holy Spirit flow into our homes to bring divine direction to our lives. May it give peace of purpose with a refreshing sense of your love. We pray for your forgiveness for not always being in the position where we were able to soak in your healing waters. Help us to place you first in our homes so that we will have the means to carry your peace to our community. We have read the last chapter of your Holy Scriptures and know that you will bring this universe together and peace will reign. This knowledge gives each of us a firm confidence in the depth of our souls, that we are important to you, loved by you. Help us to share this confidence with those that we meet in this community. May this week be the best week possible for the community of GPC, knowing that you are working in us and through us. You have heard our joys. Therefore, lead us to places and people where your healing waters are needed, whether it is a drop, a cupful, or a 5-gallon bucket. We want you to know that we love you and are thankful for you, for what you have done for us from the beginning of time till now. We also eagerly look forward with thankful hearts to what you will be doing in our homes, community, nation, and world. We confidently share our thoughts with you in the name of Jesus, who has taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The ushers will come forward. We're going to take a flowing river full of baskets of offering this morning. God bless you. God, we dedicate these gifts freely given and gracefully received to the work of your church in the world, building honest, caring relationships across all lines of difference, growing in spirit and searching for meaning together and apart, promoting peace, practicing compassion, and working for justice. May these gifts and the work of our hands and hearts give power and peace to all who